This is a Doxcast, not an Argos Soxcast, or a Bagels and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry. This is a Doxcast. It's a nerdy Toxcast. Discuss a Moxcast with Rich Early and friends.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another late night edition of the Doxcast. Late night edition. That makes it sound unseemly, doesn't it? Like we're gonna have all sorts of. We'll run with it. I am your co-host.
Anything can happen.
And probably won't. I am your co-host, Josh Trumbo, and with me, as always, is the unbreakable Rich Early. Rich, how are you doing tonight?
Well, like I said before we started recording, I have broken, so far today I've broken this vintage dish that belongs to my wife.
It wasn't a Star Trek collector's plate, was it?
No, sold you by Morn. Everybody remember Morn? Points if you remember Morn. You're a Star Trek operator. I think he was the guy when they were selling like two episodes of Next Gen at a time on VHS. Wasn't that the guy, the character they made up or something like that? I remember this.
Probably. Anyway.
Yeah. But see, I broke a plate, and then I broke... A couple of years ago, one of my employees gave me a copy of the World's Best Boss mug that Michael Scott has in the office. Yeah. Michael Scott bought it for himself, you know. Anyway, so I broke that today. So that was fun. So.
So it's just been a good day, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway, what are we doing here?
That's the question I ask myself every time. Oh, it's a good night for another store update. The last 2 weeks, we had an amazing two-part episode to kick off our 300th and 301st episodes with an interview with none other than former NFL punter, Minnesota Vikings punter, Chris Cluey. And that was great.
And people may not have even listened to that, right? Because it's on the website, and so unless you go there, you know, or whatever, right? But yeah, like that was crazy.
A good reason to go to the website. You never know what you might miss. Yeah, we decided not to broadcast that one live, just so that, we could... have freedom of our talking and then, you know, edit anything that needed to be edited. I don't think there was very much, if anything, that we took out of that one. Maybe there was just a couple of quick swears that wasn't an after hours one. That was was a regular good old time one.
I was a little worried because Chris has a reputation for swearing a lot, and so I just thought we might be safer not being live during that was all, you know? So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Chad didn't have any idea. He's pretty on top of things. So, Chad, you should go check out the first part of that episode specifically, the first part of the two-parter. We talked about his card game, Twilight of the Gods, which sounds pretty danged amazing, actually, so...
And they've got big plans for it. Like it was supposed to have a big new sort of, I don't know if re-release is, you know, but new edition and everything like right pre-pandemic. So
yeah,
here we are.
Because a new publisher got a hold of the game and possibly even the old publishing company. But either way, yeah, check out those episodes if you haven't. Because they're definitely, it's not just Rich and me talking, which, if you're listening tonight, I mean, stick around, because this is going to be gold. But most of the time, you know, just maybe a little more exciting to hear someone else chime in and talk, and to talk with someone who was a professional football player, but is very much, and always has been, a nerd, you know. Loves board and card games, has written and released novels, plays D&D with local heartthrob Lance Meister. Really cool guy. Fantastically fun to talk to.
And that's how we connected with him. Lance connected us he met him several years ago at a convention.
At Gen Con, I believe.
Promoting the game. I think it was Board Game Geek.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Board Game Geek Con. Yep. Nope, you got it.
I don't know
if it
matters all that much, but, you know.
Details are important.
And, yeah. And, yeah, and so then they became friends and started playing D&D, and then Lance was telling me this, and I said, you know, our 300th podcast is coming up. I mean, if you're not familiar with Chris Cluey, yes, he was the former punter for the Minnesota Vikings, and he was the punter during the time Brett Favre was there, which even if you're not familiar with a lot of Vikings stuff, like most people, you know, remember that that was a thing, right? So, and then Chris became a very outspoken advocate for a lot of things. He's very political, but he also recently he wrote a sci-fi fantasy novel, sort of a dystopian future thing, and he talks a lot about that and why he wrote it, and it has a very specific purpose. You know, the second half of the video, or like Josh said, you know, the first half was very much about the game, and the second half was very much about the book, and we sort of broke them into two podcasts, you know. But yeah, like he gets into game design and game theory, you know, what he wanted the game to do, how he designed it the way he did, you know. I mean, it really was actually quite interesting.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. But yeah, that's on the website right now, both parts. You can go and listen to those and highly recommend it. But because, you know, we had an actual guest for 2 weeks there for two full podcasts, we haven't done a store update in a little while. And so here we are. It's Sunday night. We got to put a podcast out there. Why don't we talk about what's been going on with the store? Because, you know, people got to know.
That and I think that and what's coming up. But, well, I mean, the most interesting, we're on like a hot streak for celebrities.
Yeah.
Right. So this past week we kicked off. Well, we launched a graphic novel club back in April called Para Talks. And we have improved it slowly and steadily. Our first guest, Dave Chisholm, was great. Our second guest was Ram V for his work on These Savage Shores. And he's now writing Catwoman comics for DC as well. But, I mean, this two-parter that we're doing right now, I mean, we literally have one of the top most on-fire creative teams in comics. If you're not familiar with comics, it essentially was like having, if you were like a movie place, it was kind of like having Christopher Nolan like on a podcast or on a stream. I mean, it wasn't even a podcast. The coolest thing about it is we've created a kind of an intimate little members only format where our members literally got to talk to Tom King and coming up his art partner in about 2.5 weeks now, Mitch Gerrits for the second half. And yeah, I mean, we have about 20 people. We had a guest from the DC Comics sales team and a guest from Boom Studios who just listened in because we're working on a whole bunch of stuff. I have some hopefully major announcements coming. But, you know, and it was just great. Like our very own in-store customers got to talk to, you know, literally one of the top comic writers going, I mean, this very second. So that club's going really well. Next month, and we'll be announcing this more officially shortly, but if you're familiar with, I don't know if anyone knows the name Jeffrey Brown as well. I mean, Jeffrey Brown's going to be the biggest name we've almost ever had on anything, essentially. He's a, you know, top, you know, a best-selling creator in the book market. Most people will be very familiar with him. There's a line of books he did that were, and he still does. They're like young reader. Well, not even young reader, but they're little Star Wars books, like Vader's Little Princess, and that whole line of books. So he's our guest. I mean, seriously, that is an absolutely huge guest. We're going to make it kind of a family, all ages sort of thing. So a perfect thing that like Shauna, who's watching, and her family might enjoy. So it won't just be a graphic novel club for, you know, just for adults or whatever.
Not just for the super fans.
Inappropriate, but yeah. Right, but for everybody. And we're going to work hard on that. We're actually going to be working with his press agent at Random House and trying to push the club further as well. And so he has a new young reader book that looks really sweet. We have our copies coming. It's called Once Upon a Space Time. Book looks excellent. It's a $13.99 retail book. The club is $20. You get the book, plus you get access to the thing. You know, the club's a service, not a product. It just, you know, it comes with a product. So, and we'll be working on recurring payments and some other big guests down the line. We won't always have, like, the biggest names in comics or whatever. I mean, we're going to work hard on that for a while, especially in 2020 to try to, well, I mean, we all need some fun. So we'll be working on that. But the thing about it that was so cool was just how, you know, we had this deep discussion about art and meaning and how Tom comes up with ideas and how he crafts things. We had a really deep conversation that with him, he talked for a long time about how he writes women in his comics and why they're so well written, as opposed to so much of what you might read in comics, you know. And he's a CIA agent who spent time in Iraq. And I don't know, it was just fascinating. I mean, a lot of geeking out and fanboying for me as well. But yeah, I mean, it was awesome. So.
Well, no, and I was just, you know, in the green room prior to, just to make sure everything was hooked up and working right. And got to just kind of chat with him a little bit there. And man, just what a nice dude.
Like, yes.
Right? Like, he just was in there and completely at ease, just bouncing things. Like, it was instant joking. Like, it was like we had known the guy for years, you know? It was just so smooth there. So I'm assuming that the rest of the meeting went well, went along those lines. But I was just so impressed. Like, you never know. Not everybody is a public speaker and so forth. But man, he was just right in there. And that was, I'll bet that was a fantastic discussion.
Yeah. He's a very down to earth, very straightforward guy. I mean, he was open and honest. We had a lot of fun. He even told us one thing that he wouldn't have told us. I mean, this is another thing that we're trying to do. We're not recording these. These are just standalone events. You're either a club member and you get to be part of it, or you're not going to hear it. And the reason is, if you're a creator, especially today, with the way Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everything else operates, how would you like a place where you get to just talk to some fans without everybody posting on Twitter or Instagram instantly, whatever you just said or did, you know?
Well, that's,
or
like,
being recorded so that you, yeah.
Yeah, that's been one of my favorite things. Anime Fargo, which unfortunately isn't happening this year, but the past several years they've done an Ask Me Anything panel with any of the guests that want to be a part of it. And God bless them for making us guests for the the first 6 years of the convention there. So we got to be a part of it, Paul and I, as the Kamikaze Snowmen. And, you know, we don't have as many interesting stories, I think, as, you know, or the ones that people want to hear, like from the voice actors and so forth. But yeah, I mean, it's just that kind of environment is so fun and so freeing, when people can just kind of go in there and say, all right, here's the deal. There's this thing that happened, you know, and not have to worry about there being all these repercussions, you know, because you say something and it gets out and then it's everywhere and you can't take it back. And so it makes for a very intimate and very fun environment. So that's great.
Well, you can still jump in on this one. Mitch Garrett's comes up in about 3 weeks. You still have plenty of time to read Sheriff of Babylon and then Jeffrey Brown next month. We'll be announcing Jeffrey Brown and all details as the Mitch Garrett's event happens on the 30th. So that'll all be worked out. Hopefully I'll have everything set up with Random House by then as well. And I mean, I'm hoping there's something I want to do in particular with Boom Studios, and that could also then lead to a lot more really interesting guests as well. So I'm hoping that comes together. I know Morgan Perry, who was with us and listening in, had a really good time and really likes what we're doing. And I showed her the things that I'd like to do to improve the club further. So that was great. So
that's excellent. And, you know, hopefully not to scare anyone away, but just to make sure they know, Sheriff of Babylon is a hardcover. And so It works. It is $40 for the club for the 2 months, and if you missed out on the Tom King conversation, unfortunately, it's still going to be $40 for the second half, just because a lot of it does cover the cost of that hardcover book.
I think we're going to try to put the pedal to the metal with this club. I think, you know, obviously Tom will potentially be a hype man, but what I want is I want people to join the club because the club itself is a really intimate, cool place and a unique thing and entertaining. And it isn't that, oh, I'm going to be here simply because there's a huge named guest. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we can get those, fantastic. But I really want to, and the good thing about Tom, though, is that if I got people there, if it took Tom to get people there, I'm hoping those people will stay because they say to themselves, I mean, I loved this format. And so what's interesting about it is the format, not just the celebrity. We can't keep getting a huge celebrity every single time. That's not going to happen. You know, we're not going to have Neil Gaiman in 2 months, you know, so.
Well, have you tried?
No, not yet, but he normally wants $40,000, so I met him once. He won't remember that. So. Yeah.
Well, and that's something, and we've talked about it a little bit before, but I'd love to do something similar with board game designers and figure out a way to do that. And obviously, it's a different beast because you can't charge somebody $20 and give them a $50 board game or expect people to pay $50 to $60, $70 or whatever a month to buy a new board game and be in on a discussion. But if we can figure out some way, if we can get some designers to agree to pop in and just have some kind of a monthly fee or something, I would love to do that. And obviously a big part of that is finding other people who are interested and would be willing to be a part of that and to pay a membership fee to do that. But I would love to do that because, you know, on the DocsCast, we have been fortunate to talk with a few game designers over the past couple of years, and those are fascinating, just wonderful discussions. And I know, like, you know, we were talking with Jerry Hawthorne, who designed Mice and Mystics and Stuffed Fables, amongst other things, and he had some really good thoughts about game design and about Kickstarter and some of those things that we didn't have a lot of time to go into as much as I think you and I would have really liked to. And it'd be really cool if we could get some of those, you know, have some more of those discussions in a more open format like that. So we'll see.
Well, I think we are going to, I mean, we have to, I want to step back 1 second. You mentioned that Anime Fargo is not happening. Did you see the announcement that ValleyCon is going forward?
I did see that. I did.
Yeah. And he said, you know, I haven't talked to Tony. I know he says he's working with the, you know, health department, and so on and so forth. And I'm sure that the hotel must have policies, right? So, I don't know. I decided long ago, I don't judge anybody on a business level for the things they decide to do, you know? So, if it can be done and it can be done safely, And you know, I mean, we could all use something like that, right? And so, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how things develop. You know, a month ago, things were looking pretty dang good, and we seemed to be on a good path. And then, we're not doing so hot anymore here in the U.S. Allie Ferber just joined, and welcome. No worries being late. You can go back and listen to the podcast after it's posted later tonight if you need to. But she said she's not planning to go to ValleyCon. I don't know that I would this year. I actually haven't been able to make it the past year or two. Just for whatever reason, hasn't worked out. That weekend just has not worked for me and or Paul to go and do some Kamikaze Snowman shenanigans there. And I've definitely missed it. And I've missed conventions. I would love to be able to go to one, but you know, right now, I don't know that I'd feel terribly comfortable being in a convention space. It's but you
well,
know.
let me let me t- let me tell you, you know, it's been an interesting, you point out the last month, you know, and I mean, mm-hmm. we had the M21 pre-releases, and at that time we were talking about moving forward with organized play, and then we had a big meeting that you were in on where we really mm-hmm. do have a very viable, I think, safe, you know, accessible plan. But that was at a time, I mean, the one thing we said was we were all watching numbers, you know, do they are, because at that time they were low, you know, are they going to continue to be low? And there was some optimism, although the one thing I kept thinking in my head was the problem is you don't know that it was the wrong thing to do until after it was the wrong thing to do. And mm-hmm. that really stuck with me. And I, you know, and then I procrastinated our plans for about a week, which ended up sort of being a good idea. but so two developments this past week on organized play, and I'm going to tell you what my thinking is at this point, but on Thursday, oh, no, I'll do this the other way around. So during the week, one of the things I decided is I needed to stop procrastinating, but the only way I was going to be able to do that was to go out and get help from other people. I mean, we have a good plan and good people, but it's my responsibility as the owner of the store and the leader of any organized play effort, even if other people basically are in charge of it, you know, to make sure we're doing the right thing and providing a safe environment. And it's so confusing because of the bars and the restaurants and all these things, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's really confusing. Why can't I run events? Why, you know, we've talked about the transmission science of being in a room for 4 hours, which is the reason, mm-hmm. ultimately, right? But, you know, so I got a hold of the state health department, and then they referred me to Cass Health. And we've actually got, we're gonna be working now with the Cass County Health team. They're going to come in actually and assess the event center top to bottom. And we're going to know, you know, because that's an old building and that's an old air handling system. And I want them to tell me what they think of the circulation risk in there. And, you know, they're going to learn from me, for instance, like what is a card game tournament? What are the mechanics of a card game tournament? What are the challenges of those mm-hmm. given all the state guidelines, things like that? They'll learn from me what board gaming is, what D&D is, you know, and things like that. And I am really excited. I mean, I truly am excited. You know, am I opening a can of worms? Yes. and you know, could I regret it at some point? No, I don't think so. I think, I'll tell you what, Josh. Okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. My goal since the time I opened that store, even when I was a young kid and didn't know what I was doing, I want to be a damn leader, and I want to bring the best possible experience to Fargo-Moorhead. I remember early on with Magic, all I ever wanted to do was bring a national experience to Magic. I didn't want Fargo-Moorhead players to have to settle for anything less than the best, right? Well, today, that means being the place that says, we are going to choose health over anything else, and we're going to make sure we're the leaders. And if we can do those events, we're darn well going to do them the right way. We aren't going to mm-hmm. skip over guidelines. We're not going to ignore guidelines and things like that. Now, it's sucks. It's crappy. And I know people have a million opinions, and I don't want to get into those opinions. But I'm telling you, that's firmly what I believe at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Well, anyway, hours after I got off the phone with them, Wizards of the Coast put out a statement and canceled all organized play until October 1st.
Right.
And now you're going to say to yourself, well, I mean, and that's, so here's the point. I don't care if you play Magic the Gathering or not. Okay. Magic the Gathering is the single biggest organized play thing ever on the planet, period. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
If they're the gold standard of organized play, if they are saying we don't believe there should be organized play in a store for Magic the Gathering, that to me also says there shouldn't be organized play for other games. And mm-hmm. I'm not insulting other games and other game companies by talking up Wizards of the Coast over them. I simply am illustrating, you know, their track record, their size, and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I don't 100% know what we're going to do with some of the other games and games that we talked about. If we get a good assessment from Cass Health, yeah, I mean, it's possible. We may continue with some of our plans. But we're not going to run unsanctioned Magic at the store. It's just not a thing I'm going to do, you know. Yeah. I'm going to abide by that. Look, I'm a WPN premium store. That brand to me, that Magic brand to me, is of utmost importance, and hell, it's my responsibility with that tag, and we're darn well going to support what they say and what they think, because there's a reason for it. So, I don't know, I just talked a lot. Oh, well, I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm sorry, but Josh, what we just learned is unfortunately probably what reality is going to look like for the next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months. I mean, even possibly longer. And I don't mean that, I'm not trying to be a pessimist, right? Mm-hmm. But we're going to, I think this is reality. I think we may have a month where things look good, and then a month later things don't. We might have 3 months where things look good, and then they don't. I mean, I'm wondering if the motto is, and this is, I hate to say this because I know how some will react to this, but the model might be no vaccine, no OP. I mean, I don't know how else it's, you know, let's face it. That just might be the facts, because we can't do this. We can't do, oh, it looks good. Oh, no, it doesn't. You know, if we had launched events into this week when North Dakota active cases have more than doubled in the last 2 weeks, hospitalizations, and these numbers are low, right? 5 days ago, hospitalizations in North Dakota were 22. Today, they're 38. You know, I realize that neither one of those numbers is like, oh, my God, you know. But, yeah, I mean, but we're not far off of doubling hospitalizations in 5 days, you know. They've gone from 200 and some active cases to over 500 active cases. They've got, you know, say what you want about it. I get that, okay? I totally do. Remember that I and Josh and others here, we have a responsibility to others, because that's what we do. That's the position that we have, right? And yeah, I mean, there you go. I don't know. So I don't know, man. I think OP is screwed. I mean, I really do. And I think it might be really wise to just assume that's the case and let it be until I don't know when. So there you go.
Yeah. No. And you know my stance on it. I agree with you 100%. There's really no sense in risking everything for some events. I mean, we love the events. I miss going to Paradox on tabletop nights and playing games with people. I really, really miss it. But, you know, one of the things that people don't really get, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I may not understand the exact severity of this, but suppose you host an event, you have, a Magic tourney, and you keep it down, there's 16 people there, whatever, but someone there has COVID, and it spreads to the other people, you know, like worst case scenario, employees get it. What happens to the shop then? You know, yep. Like this, it may be like, oh yeah, you're sick for a month and it sucks. You'll get fine. You'll be fine as long as you're healthy or whatever people are, you know, that's not necessarily true, but you know, that's part of the attitude. It's like, whatever, I'm in my 20s. I'll just sit in bed and, you know, play video games until I'm better, and who cares? Well, that's great. But if the shop has to close down because you had COVID and you brought it in and passed it on to everyone there, you know, how does Paradox rebound from that? How do you possibly, it's just, you know, so there are risks there beyond, and obviously health and keeping people safe is the utmost importance. But also, if the store would cease to exist because you were careless, you know, I mean, would you want that on you? I wouldn't. So I'd hate to lose what Paradox is in our community. So, I mean, for me, well, let's be safe.
And then there's two aspects to that too. And I mean, that's just set aside politics, set aside, you know, what you believe and what you don't. This is the reality right now, right? Whether you are for or against the mask, whatever you know, whatever your opinion is, right? Mm-hmm. This is what we're living with though. Right. And these are the consequences of, you know, Cass Health traces a positive test back to us. I mean, Fort Knox just had to close, you know, and then they reopened. I think West Fargo worst. There's three or four on my list that I know of And I've heard stories of other places. There's rumors of certain grocery stores today, you know, and things like this, right?
Right.
So it's just so complicated. Mm-hmm. It's just there's so much more to it. When we started Paradox Together, the whole point of Paradox Together is we've tried to say the whole time, we're not in your politics and we don't want your politics here, but what we all want to do is keep the store open together, you know, because that's what we all need, you know, mm-hmm. as nerds and so on and so forth. But if you think, you know, if someone's listening and they think to themselves, oh, you know, that sucks. They should be open. I want to be able to do this. If you think it's bad for you for Paradox to not be open for events, it is way worse for me because you're directly talking about a hit to my income that without reinventing my business, I have no way to replace. You know, I realize that we all like community is our watchword, but it's also a business model. And when that event center is open, that's revenue in the door. When that event center is closed, not only is that not revenue in the door, but it's a cost to me to rent that space with no return at all. Mm-hmm. So for 4 months, that event center's been empty. It's March 14th, and then we ran two, you know, events on June 21st and 23rd, right? But outside of that, that place has been empty, and now likely is going to be empty for another 3 months, right? Like, I'm bleeding money on that space. So whatever you think about it, yeah, I mean, magnify it by about 100 to what I think about it. You know, yeah, I'm brokenhearted that you're not in there playing. Believe me, I am. But I have a very practical reality problem, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, and
I guess this is the most outspoken I've been about it. But frankly, I don't know what other position to take anymore. I mean, we've spent a lot of time. We're trying to be extremely respectful. We don't want politics in the shop, like, at all. We want, mm-hmm. you know, it's a safe place. But it's starting to have a huge impact on me, and I need to take, you know, I need to be more directed in saying, we need your support. You know, we've put in a loyalty program so that if you're able to come and shop, you don't have to wait for a sale. You don't have to worry about, you know, being packed in with everybody on, you know, a big sale day where we've got 20 or 30% off trying to get stuff, you know, you mm-hmm. can come in Monday morning at 11 a.m. when not many people are going to be there, shop and earn your discounts for future purchases, right? So that's model number one that we've changed. Hours, we're back to 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'm changing a bunch more stuff. We've actually got 5 parking spots in the back lot that we now have all unified. And a lot of you have been to the event center. They're the 5 spots that face the event center back door now. And what we're going to be doing with them is we're going to take a couple of the signs. We're going to make them dedicated curbside spots. So there might be like a Spider-Man head on one and a Meeple on another. And you'll be able to come up and call or text and say, I'm in Spider-Man, and we can run out with your curbside. And I realize, you know, not a lot of curbside going on right now, but, you know, preparing for, you know, more eventualities of that sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've just overhauled, by the end of this week, we'll overhaul our phone system as well. So that, because that was another problem that we had early on, is we had a terrible phone system. So people are trying to call, they can't get through, all kinds of problems going on. So we're switching over to a all, you know, web-based phone system that will have now one of those annoying digital receptionists. but it's going to be awesome. You know, you call and you're going to say, you know, push 1 for comic books and graphic novels, push 2 for board games and card games, and push 3 for the office, you know, and you will get to go directly to the specialist that you're looking for. You'll be queued up if you have to wait, and you'll be able to leave messages that will actually be able to retrieve all electronically. So I'm taking every step I possibly can, and that doesn't even touch on the things that we're going to be continuing to do with the website. We've added some critical background stuff to the website, and next up is going to be we're going to be adding more product to the website, and we're going to be adding a high-end search function to the website. And there's just going to be more and more and more happening. So, you know, it's just, it's the wake up call time. If we're not going to get revenue out of the event center, and we're not, and God knows how long that's going to be, then we can sit around hoping that the way things used to be are the things that are going to pull us out, or suddenly magically just reappear. Or we got to do something different. And I think we've spent a lot of time. We always use that word, you know, new normal, or like, can't wait till things are back to normal or whatever. And you know what? I mean, that's just not going to happen this week, you know? So,
yeah. Well, I want to step back for a second because I don't want to miss the comment, but Chris Ulmer mentioned that he participated in a Dungeons & Dragons campaign over Zoom a couple months ago, and it went great. And I think, you know, we maybe we'll be looking into some options like that too, now that we have, or once we have a clearer picture of how things are going. Because obviously, Adventurers League hasn't happened since things closed down, at least in our store. And I know we're hoping to possibly get back into that, but, you know, having six people or so crowded around a table really just doesn't seem like it's going to work. So who knows? You know, it'd be great if we could still offer up that some option there, so that, you know, you can pay your entry fee and hop in over Zoom or Roll 20 or whatever. You know, obviously nothing is set in stone yet, but that's something I think that we may have to figure out now, because, like you said, that event center is probably staying closed, or at least can't logically or safely have the kind of table space that a role-playing game usually occupies. But
no, I mean, it's you're spot on. I mean, it's just time for, it's time to move forward. You know, I mean, I hope that we're able to reevaluate on a monthly basis, and that something is different by the fall. But you know, I don't know. I doubt it. I can't assume that anymore. You know, I can't. It's not good for my customers. It's not good for me. The one thing I will say, the other aspect of this, and what you're saying is really important. And I think we're going to have to find a way to do something community wise, as you are saying, because our mental health across the board is the other thing that's at stake. Our physical health, you know, keeps us alive, literally, right, in this situation. But there's also just the, like, what's the point of life aspect of our mental health, right?
Right.
I can't stay home and be afraid and not, or even if I go out, I can't not get to do the things that I love to do forever. I mean, well, you kind of have to, maybe, but you know, there just comes a balancing act that no one has the answers. No one knows. No one understands. We're all just, you know, a lot of people are mad. A lot of people are scared. Mostly we're just all confused and have no idea what to do. And I mean, that's even the tough part, right? Like, 'cause I can say with relative certainty that organized play is not going to be a key component of the store for the foreseeable future. But I want to be careful not to make that a declarative statement. What if it is by October? What if by miracle it all goes away and we can be back to, you know, full operation on all levels? I mean, I don't want to have declaratively made it then impossible for that to happen by some other set of decisions, you know? So, yeah, it's not easy, and no one knows what to do. So,
yeah. No, that's the best we can do, is just keep watching and adjusting and deal with it as it comes.
Shout out to Allie for, I assume she means she's a member of the rewards program. I will say one word of caution over the rewards program is we're running into... whatever, like, it's the early weeks of this thing. We're running into some programming issues on the point of sale side. So if you notice any points missing or anything wrong, just let us know. Like, nobody, I'm just going to say this very bluntly. No one is trying to defraud anyone of points or mislead anyone on what the program is. No one's even suggested that they think that to me. I just want to make this very, very, very clear. Work with us. Make sure you've got your points. And as soon as possible, you know, I expect, you know, hopefully even tomorrow. We're just having weird things. Like one time a D&D book will scan and correctly reward points, and then the next time it won't, you know. So it's just... it's all, none of it's on our end. It's all entirely on RMH and Comic Suite. And we're working, constantly with someone there, to get that fixed. So, worst case scenario, we may just have to adjust the overall programming if that's the program problem, you know, but the program's not going anywhere. And I hope that we have a good solution as soon as possible. So there you go. It's not everything. It's not all the time. It's not affecting every transaction. I just want to make sure that it's out there that, yes, we are aware there are, you know, issues that are blips that are happening. So, hey, it's a piece of technology and it's a new system. Guess what? There's some problems.
Absolutely. Well, we've... surprisingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, been talking for almost the usual 45 minutes that we put aside for these podcasting sessions. Rich, is there anything else that we want to touch on before we finish up for tonight? I know we've been talking about you've been getting some new board games in, and is there anything else kind of exciting or worth mentioning here tonight?
We're expanding our manga section, and we're starting to pick and choose now that we've got some kind of staple board games back on the shelves. You know, if you come by looking for a staple game and it's not there at this point, it's pretty much because it's just not being made yet. So we started poking around at some new things. I was even telling you about some of these fun, like, there's this, like, Hasbro is making this, like, Harry Potter House Cup Challenge game that just looks fun, right? It's just like you're a representative of one of the houses. You go out onto the board, score points, and whoever scores the most points wins. I'm sure it's a really simple game, but I thought it looked really cool.
At the end of the game, does Dumbledore just give the win to Gryffindor no matter what? Is that...
Nice.
That'd be more in line with the way the movies and books went.
Yeah.
Like, I know Slytherin has like 500 more points, but...
there's an Avengers Infinity War version of Love Letter coming out. So I thought that was pretty cool and got that. And then there is, you know, just several other things that have looked kind of cool on some lists. There's a new Keyforge set. It's technically released Friday, but because the world is on fire, it didn't arrive on time. So it should be here any day. If you've got a request for a game or something, or a book, like, join the loyalty program. And, you know, now's the time. I mean, we're getting a lot of support, but I think I need to start saying it more and more, but, like, please try to choose us whenever possible. You know, Amazon and Walmart.com don't need your help. You know, I don't mean to imply that Paradox is in, you know, Paradox is very stable. Look, you know, like 27 years, we have a lot of backup and a lot of things like that. We're, you know, bluntly, we're probably at about 70% or so of normal sales, you know, which sounds like a really good number, except we've got like 100% of all our expenses. So, you know, there's a gap there, you know. So you guys are amazing. You guys are incredible. I mean, the fact that people have chosen Paradox and allowed us to be there all this time and to be part of so much, you know, and you've got other local shops to support too, you know, I mean, I get all that, but, and some people are worried about their unemployment bonuses dwindling or so on and so forth. So I never ask someone to spend money that they don't have, but yeah, I mean, you know, my goodness, especially if you're choosing to buy into D&D, you know, or just really simple things, right? Like, if you're buying a Kickstarter game, I can't help you, right? But,
yeah,
like, barring you're not buying something you yeah, barring you're not buying something that you can't get from me, you know, like, yeah, I mean, please, choose us. Let's go.
And there are still some things, just to throw this in there real quick, that are unique to the Paradox store. It's not items you couldn't get somewhere else, but the fact that we bundled them together or created something like the comics box, which we're on the fourth one, I believe. Yeah, it's our fourth one. And so you get a bunch of comic books and a chance to win a rare or expensive, you know, comic book. So it's a variation on the comics bundles that we did at the start of the whole pandemic shutdown. But now there's, instead of just getting a bundle of comics for a great price, you get a bundle of comics for a great price, and you might win, what have we got, a Star Wars comic that includes Boba Fett's first appearance in the comic series, you know, and the other bounty hunters and stuff. Last comic box was the first issue of Iron Fist, you know. It's really cool. It's a chance for you to support the store, for you to get good product at a good price, and possibly get something else that, you know, might be of great value. So, got that, and I believe I think we still have the D&D bundles up on the store. So if you're just getting into it or something, and you need the Player's Handbook, the Dungeon Master's Guide, and the Monster Manual, you can get all those for a good price. Or you can get you know, a set with dice and dice bags and pretty much everything included that you would need to play, you know, stuff like that. So we are trying to put some unique and interesting things out there so that, yeah, you know, online retailers may still have better prices, but you can support the store and still get all this cool stuff for, you know, like I said, for a good price, and get it all bundled together.
Yeah, I mean, we are coming up on times when people are going to need to decide what the value of the things they've enjoyed is, you know, and what those things are worth to them. So that's not really an argument I usually like to get into too much, because I just worry about the morality of it, or seeming like, you know, like, please shop with me, even as like a moral argument, right? Like, right. What we've tried and what we were leaning into. You could look in 3 months at the beginning of the year, we had D&D for Dogs, and we had It's Your Turn. That's where we were going. We were really going to push further and further beyond just Extra Life into the idea that, like, we're here doing good deeds and we want you to do them with us. That was the argument that we were out to make, you know. It sucks a little bit that it got flipped on its head, and it's almost like, I hate to say Paradox is the charity, but it's more like Paradox just doesn't have the resources available to do those things in the same way, you know? So, I know we're pretty much out of time, but one of the biggest events of the year is about to start, has been reformed and is starting as something new, and we didn't even mention it, and it just occurred to me. So, we gotta talk about Free Comic Book Summer here a little bit, so.
Real quick before you get into that, Allie did just ask a question asking if Paradox has a book on how to make your own campaign for an RPG. I don't know, I'm sure books like that do exist. Do you know if there's anything like that currently in stock?
Well, I can do a little bit more research, but I mean, the specific to D&D, the DM guide is all about world building and campaign building on your own. Mm-hmm. It's actually really good. I read it years ago when 5e started, and it does a fantastic job of taking you from the top to bottom and making you think about what your world would be like and things like that. I don't know if Goodman Games has, because they make a lot of supplemental 5e stuff, you know, so I'm not sure. I would have to dig.
Yeah, John just piped in and said, that's the DMG.
Right, yeah. And it's actually, the thing is, you know, when I was younger, I would have blown off the DMG because I would have been like, oh, I know how to build my own world and I have an imagination. But actually, that DMG is really good. I mean, it just makes you think, and it it's not that it's super mechanical, but it starts in the broad strokes of your world and helps you bring it all the way down to the streets of the cities that you're in. It is a pretty impressive book, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That's the Dungeons and Dragons Dungeon Master's Guide, but it talks in broad enough strokes that it certainly could be, the idea of it could be applied to, you know, any setting. So,
yeah, and I would also suggest, if you can, I'm actually looking to see if it's still out there. So back when we switched the website, upgraded the website, I think unfortunately all of our old podcast episodes are gone up to a certain point. But there was an old episode of the DoxCast, if you can find it somewhere, where we got to interview Keith Baker, who I met at KeyCon up in Winnipeg. And Keith Baker, for you, those of you who don't know, is the guy who designed the Eberron campaign setting for D&D, and he's done a ton of stuff since then. And I believe we talked a bit there. I know he talked quite a bit at KeyCon about world building and all of that kind of stuff. And I think we talked a little bit about it on the podcast there as well. He's fantastic. I would love to talk with him again, find an excuse to get him on the podcast, or if we start doing any kind of a board game or tabletop club like we've been talking. He's just such a great guy, has so many fantastic ideas, and just he's did a really good job of talking about creating worlds. And for somebody who's created an actual published campaign setting for the biggest RPG in our current age, you know, when he talks, you listen. So if you can happen to find that, like I said, I don't know that it's out there anymore in any place that you could actually get to it. But if you can, that might be a fun place to start, or at least get some information. But yeah, otherwise, Dungeon Master's Guide, great tool.
Yeah, so lastly, and well, I'll just keep it short, but I mean, most Paradox customers, existing customers, are very familiar with the first Saturday in May every year is Free Comic Book Day, and obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah.
there was a lot of hope being held out that there would come a point in time in later in the year, say, you know, the beginning of September, the beginning of October, that we could just hold Free Comic Book Day still. That's what we wanted and we're waiting for, but there are so many logistics involved, and a lot of people don't realize this, but like, we pay for the books, like they're free to and like there was a record number of them printed this year and pre-ordered, and they've all been getting stored literally in someone's warehouse, right? That can't go on forever, so there's a cost in that, there's a cost in their printing, and then there's us, you know, buying them from the publishers. We did get the opportunity to lower our numbers, but what they've done is they've taken it, and they're calling it Free Comic Book Summer. And then what they're going to do is they're going to be 3, 4, or 5 books every Wednesday, starting this week, July 15th through September 9th. Now, I'm going to tell you bluntly, the big problem with this for every shop in America, and this is the business end of it, is that we spend, you know, Paradox has spent up to $5,000 on free books for a year, but Free Comic Book Day is our first or second best sales day of the year, right? So it's a trade-off, and then a hope that, you know, it just creates a lot of buzz and excitement of potential future customers and exposes people to things and things like that. A lot of that may still be true with Free Comic Book Day Summer, but we basically have the cost to absorb with very little of the benefit now, because we just don't, you know, there's just too big of a difference between, I'm going to stop by a couple of Wednesdays, and by the third or fourth time, I'm bored and I'm not going to do that, you know, and you're not going to buy something every time you come in the way you would then. I mean, maybe you will, maybe it will be better than I think. My guess is, though, it's going to get real lackluster real fast, is my suspicion, right?
Right.
And on top of that, what we did was, we've slashed, like we dropped a lot of the small press books. We love to have those on the table because they're really fun to see and pick up, but that's when the table is an impressive, our game toppers lined up in a row, they all had comics on them, you had all ages in one place and another. But now you're coming in and there's like one small press book you've never heard of and an X-Men comic, you know. You're not going to pick up that small press book, and it just isn't fun, you know, in the same way. So now, that being said, as a negative, I still hope this is fun. I still hope we are able to bring that idea of stopping by and getting a free comic, and that we're able to salvage, you know, something out of it. So every week, we went back and forth on this. All of our books that we do carry are going to be totally free. Anybody can stop by and get them. We were originally considering altering the model this year and saying they were only free with a purchase of $10 or more. But I don't know. I'm friends with the guy who created Free Comic Book Day, and he really stresses, remember that what you do now will affect people's opinion of it in the future or their expectations in the future. And so, and on top of that, on just a personal level, we should, you know, I wish we kept the business stuff. I know I just talked the business stuff, but, you know, out of it more and just kept it fun for fans. And so that's why making them free is the right thing to do, despite the cost, right? Like, you need, you guys, I told you guys what I need. You know what you guys need? You need fun. You know, you just need the, you need some normalcy, and Free Comic Book Day is part of your yearly annual routine, and you need that, and you need to be entertained, and you need us to get that done. So there you go.
Yeah, so stop by the store and grab a free comic book and pick up something else you've had your eye on for a while. Grab one of those new board games or some other comic books, graphic novel, role-playing book, whatever.
Ask about our graphic novel club. Make sure you get signed up for our loyalty program. Check out all the stocking we're doing and the new things that are coming in. And there you go.
And Allie asked if the comics will only be there Wednesday or if they'll be there for the week. Basically, Wednesday to the next Wednesday.
Yep. So Wednesday, Tuesday is the day new DC comics come out. Wednesday is the new day all other new books come out. That's the morning they go on. That's the morning they get put out. Will be Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. when we open for new comics for the week. Quantities are badly cut. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, the average, the high-end book previously for us, we had some, we had 500 to 800 copies of ordered some of the books. And now, you know, 100 to 150 is the top end. So I have no idea what that will look like structurally. You know, we've just never done anything like this before, right? So no clue how that's going to go. So
yeah. But yeah, and one of the big reasons, other than, you know, just not everybody can get there on one day every week, but, you know, we still have a limit of how many customers can be in the store at a time. If we only had free comic books available on one day out of the week, that could create a situation where you have a lot of people trying to get in all at once and creating lines or coming in and not social distancing and stuff like that, which of course goes against everything we've been talking about with, you know, keeping people safe and trying to make things work in the current world. So yeah, they should be out there. And so say, Rich, you've got, you know, a handful of free comic books, you put them out Wednesday, come around to the next Wednesday, those aren't all gone. Will they still be out there, or are you planning to switch out?
Nope, we're going to start a section that, you know, theoretically will grow depending on, you know, assuming not every book is just gone all the time, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, we'll have I don't 100% know where we're going to put it for sure, but we have, if you've been in recently, like, we have the new to you section now, as you walk in the door, kind of where the D&D section used to be. Now it's like our new to you comics. And so the idea there is, that's probably where the free books will get set up each week and just hopefully grow. So everybody has an opportunity to get some books. So
perfect. All right. And of course we have a bunch of this information all on the website. So, go to paradoxcmc.com. And you can find all that, as well as some of those bundles we were talking about in the store, and a few other goodies that you may not be aware of. If you're a Magic player, I think there are still some rare or hard-to-get booster boxes in there that the store recently came across. So it's worth checking out. It's worth keeping an eye on that website and just popping in there from time to time and seeing what's there in terms of products, blog posts with updates, and, you know, potentially events of some sort. So definitely paradoxcnc.com. Can't stress it enough. Anything else, Rich, you want to say before we sign off for tonight?
I don't think so. I was thinking about the website while you were talking. I think once we, you know, we hopefully this week we'll have several things done. The improved search functionality and the tax collection service. Like, well, we are collecting sales tax, but now we have a third party basically bot in the background, you know, that will run everything. But I'd say at some point, I'd really like to see the website become the online home for Paradox rather than a third party social media platform. You know, we've been totally reliant on and built so much of our model off of like Facebook being our place to be. Mm-hmm. And I still love Facebook. I know I'm alone, but you know, I think Facebook is an incredible tool, but it would be nice though to have a place for you to come where you didn't have to go to Facebook to get information about us. But to do that, we have to create reasons that you're coming to that site that more than what we have so far. Like, we may need to have like specific days of the week that certain content pops up. You know, if you are you're waiting for a board game update, it comes every Thursday, you know, I don't know, mm-hmm. things like that. Right. Like, I think too, like, we should have some exclusive offers, you know, get into, even if it's once a week, have a, you know, this product is on sale for a special price, but only through the website. And things like that are things we're going to have to do in order to make that work better. So,
right. All right. Well, thank you, folks, everyone who popped in and chatted with us and or listened quietly in the background. I assume that we put Chad to sleep with the soft sounds of our voices. But we really do appreciate you guys hanging out with us and checking out these updates and all the support that you give to the store, whether it's monetary, sharing posts, you know, whatever it happens to be. So please do continue to do so as you are able, and we're going to try to do our best to give you guys fantastic and interesting content. Yep, Chad, definitely asleep there.
And Allie, this was awesome. I'm so proud of you for engaging this much. I know you're a big part of things in the community, but you know, you don't always speak up as much, and I think it was awesome. So I hope we were able to engage you and answer your questions, and I want you to go have a
it cut out there. So so whatever you said there, sorry, after want you to go out and have a
cookie.
There you go. Just to make sure that people know we weren't bleeping out something horrible. But yeah, check out the Paradox Comic Box. Check out the Paratox Graphic Novel Club. Even if you're not like big into comic books, it's a very interesting idea and way to get into talking about a unique art form. You know, a lot of the graphic novels, or I think all of them so far that we've picked or that have been part of the club have been, you know, they're not part of a larger story or anything. So it's not like this is, you know, one Batman graphic novel out of 5 billion issues. You know, these have been very self-contained stories, so there isn't anything more you need to put into it. You can kind of dip your toes in the water, try it for a month, and see what you think. But, you know, it's talking with industry professionals who are doing a creative job, whether it's writing, drawing, or whatever. So check that out. And also, I definitely would love if you're listening here and you do have any possible interest in, like we were talking, speaking with board game designers or, you know, tabletop in general, role-playing game designers, people who write the books for D&D and stuff like that. I mean, let us know. The more people that are interested in it, the better chance there is that we'll be able to put something together for it. So, best way to do that is probably to, right now, message us on Facebook or send an email to paradox@paradoxcnc.com. Check out Paradox @ ParadoxCNC on Twitter, ParadoxCNC on Instagram, And I think that about covers it. Not forgetting anything important, am I, Rich?
I don't think so. The one good thing about graphic novel comics, as Tom King told us, was unlike everything else, they can pivot fast, so they can already be telling stories and publishing stories about the pandemic in a way that movies and TV shows just simply can't do. And something I keep saying and thinking is, sadly, the movie theaters are closed, but if you want a blockbuster Avengers story, Batman story, Spider-Man story, guess where you can get it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, thanks again for tuning in, whether you're with us live or listen to us later. And yeah, we'll be back at some point this next week to do some type of another podcast. And I guess until then, we'll see you on the next DocsCast.
This was a DocsCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time, geek on.